So I was going to skip over the whole Kibbul of Akum section of the sugya of what should we call it, Neman Alayaba, but I'm told that one of the Chavrusas was very involved in the Kibbul of Akum sugya. So then I was looking back at it, and it's from Geshmaka Torah. So we're not going to go through it so carefully inside, but let's go through some of this beautiful Torah about Kibbul of Akum, meaning the Mishnah, as we've been saying for a week already, discusses Neman Alayaba. A person claims that he's willing to accept someone who's otherwise pasul as a dayan or an aid, as we saw, and that as soon as he agrees to accept that, we have a machlokas from Meir and the Chachamim whether he's bound to that acceptance. Does he have to stick with that acceptance, or can he later back out in that acceptance? Right, that was the whole discussion in the Mishnah. Rameir says you can always back out. The Chachamim say no, you're stuck. You accepted it, you're stuck. So the question we've been asking for a week already, that we keep on saying, I keep on saying, I can't pass the blame around, I keep on saying that we're going to get to today, but we keep on never getting to it, is what are the mechanics of that Kabbalah? Why would you be locked into that? Believe neither, we will get to that. But first, I want to discuss the following situation. What if the person you're Mekabel is not Abba or Avicha, but it's a guy? You're Mekabel upon yourself that you're going to accept as a kosher witness or a kosher dayan someone who's not even Jewish. So we've been discussing, yesterday we had a long discussion about Tarti L'Reisa. What if you have a person who has a double problem? Minei Ubei, within himself, he's got a double problem. Like, what were the examples of Tarti L'Reisa? Within a single individual, you Kibbul Alai Ima, let's say. You accept your mother. So she's a woman, and she's a Karo. So it's a double problem, Minei Ubei. So we discussed a whole big Machlokas Achron, and what about that? Now, Kibbul of Akum is not a double problem. It's just one really giant problem, right? That Kibbul of Akum, forget about the fact that he's not even, that he's pasul, he's not even Jewish. He doesn't even, he doesn't even go into the system. So Kibbul of Akum raises an interesting question in terms of that, in terms of the qualitative nature of the psul. Yesterday we discussed about someone being a little out of bounds and someone being way out of bounds. It's like when I was in YU, the Purim edition of one of the YU newspapers had a chart of, how you see those tefillin charts in shul, where they have someone with the tefillin on just a little off, and it says a little off, and then they show someone just right, and it shows just, so there was a woman that year who had applied to the YU Smicha program, and there were pictures of her in old newspapers wearing her tefillin, like right here, right over her her forehead. She was rejected from the YU Smicha program. It was a big scandal. So they had the chart. They showed a guy wearing tefillin. They said, just right. They showed a guy with his tefillin off to the side, said, a little bit off. And then showed the woman wearing the, said, way off. So, it's like, it's way out of bounds. It's something that's it doesn't even enter the parsha. So is that person betoras kabbalah? Can you be mekabel and then they'll become kosher just by being mekabel them? So this is a discussion. So that's one reason why it's interesting. The other reason why it's interesting when you start discussing Gayim is that there is a side isser. Aside from the fact that you need kosher dayanim, there's an isser mida oraisa, possibly, probably mida oraisa, to go to a non-Jewish court. The halacha is that you have to adjudicate all your cases in front of a Jewish court. So if you go to a non-Jewish court, it's an isser daraisa. So there may be exceptions to the rule. That's why if you ever have a dispute with a Jew, you always have to go to Beis Din first. Now, sometimes Beis Din will not be able to help you, won't have the power to be able. Then Beis Din will write you a permission slip to be able to go to a secular court if it's in fact justified. But it's not always justified. So whenever there's a dispute between Jews, the first thing to always do is, of course, to go to a Beis Din. So that enters that has to enter the equation. Kibbul Alai Abba, so I'm accepting that he's a Karov. But Kibbul Alai Goy, now it's a whole new story. Not only is he someone who's out of bounds, not only is he someone who's way out of bounds, someone that there's an Issa D'Oraisa to go and be done in front of. So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch in Chosh Mishpat Simchav Beis, Si'if Beis, which is on the Mar Mekomos, it's the fifth of the Makaros, even though I didn't number them. Im Kibbul Alav Edus Ovid, you feel free to number them. Im Kibbul Alav Edus Ovid Kochavim, if you're Mekabel on yourself, the Edus of a Goy, Kimi Shekibbul Alav Edus Echad Me'apsulim. It's just like being Mekabel, Abba, Avicha, Roi, Bakar, it doesn't make a difference. Same thing. Avalim Kibbul Alav Ovid Kochavim LeDayan, but if you accept him as a Dayan, not as an aid, Afilu kanumine, even if you make a kinyan to verify and certify that you're really fully accepting this guy this guy as your dayan, ein akinyan klum va'asur lidom lefanav. You may not go in front of him. Says the Ramah, what if you did? Avlim kvar don lefanav lo yachal achsebo. So you weren't allowed to go to the non-Jew as your dayan, even if you made a kinyan committing to do it. You're not allowed to do it, it's usher. But if you did, and he judged against you, you have to pay. You can't go back on the judgment. Once he judges, the judgment is binding. Yeah.
It's the same thing with a woman.
It's the same thing with someone who has a double psul, you're saying. Yeah. Let's say you're like Tosos. A tarti l'reisa is no good. So would it be binding b'dieved? Hold on to that question, because let's first figure out why it's binding by a guy, and then maybe we'll see if that same logic applies by a woman, right? So let's see what meaning the Ramah needs Hezbro over here. If it doesn't work to be Mekabel a guy, to the extent that even after I was Mekabel and I made a whole kinyan about it, I'm still not allowed to go, well then why is his judgment binding? It doesn't make any sense. If it's no good, it's no good. Why should his judgment be binding if it doesn't work? So this Shulchan Aruch is based on a Mordechai quoted by the Beis Yosef, which is in the next source. The Beis Yosef quotes Mordechai with a Maisa. Mordechai tells a story. Not such an entertaining story, but Bam Maisa Lefnei Rabbeinu Meir. A story came in front of Rabbeinu Meir. Be'echot Sha'amar Neman Alai Oso Gai V'kanu Minei. Someone said, I am accepting this guy as a witness, and they made a kinyan, or as a dayan, and they made a kinyan. And then once he realized that this guy was being dishonest, he was accepting bribes, he wasn't such a good guy, he wanted to back out. No, I no longer accept this guy. I didn't know the guy would do this. And Rabbeinu Meir Paskin, too late, you already accepted him. However, says the Mordechai, v'hainu b'mekablo of l'aid, Avalim kiblo l'dayan eino rashai ladun b'fanav. That's only if you mekabel him as an aid. That's when you can't back out. But if you mekabel him as a dayan, then you're allowed to back out. You're mechuyev to back out. You're not allowed to go to a din Torah in front of a guy. So we see this chilek in Shulchan Aruch. We see the Beis Yosef, where he gets it from. Whenever you want to know where anything in Shulchan Aruch is from, you look in the Beis Yosef. It's from the Beferish of Mordechai. That there's a difference between being Mekabel Gai as an aid, which is binding, and being Mekabel Gai as a dayan, which is not only not binding, you're not even allowed to do it. So two questions. Question number one, why the difference? Why is there a difference between being Mekabel as an aid and being Mekabel as a dayan? And question number two is, what's Pshat in the Ramah? That you're Mekabel as a dayan, you're not allowed to go to him, but if you do, his opinion is binding. Is he good or is he no good? If you're not allowed to go to him, why is his opinion binding? So these are the two questions that we need to deal with. Now, the first question is pretty easy. Why is it that you're bound by Kabbalah of the Goy as an aid, but not bound by the Kabbalah of a Goy as a Dayan? So what's the answer?
You can't be a Dayan and judge.
You don't know any halachas either. He has a sense of yashrus, a sense of fairness. So why can't you go? Something more fundamental. When you're mekabel Abba, Avicha, Roi Bakar, you're basically saying, I'm taking someone who's pasul. The only obstacle you need to overcome is the fact that that person is pasul. Your Kabbalah can overcome that obstacle. What the mechanics of that are, we're going to discuss. But somehow, your Kabbalah can overcome the obstacle of the fact that that person is possible. But there's another obstacle when you're dealing with a Goyish judge. Is Nisadaraisa, to be done in front of a Goyish judge. Being Mekabbalah. I'm Mekabbalah that I can eat Chazer Treif. You can be Mekabbalah all you want, you can eat Chazer Treif, you can't eat Chazer Treif. Right, you're not allowed, if it's Nisadaraisa, you're not allowed to do it. Kabbalah. For some reason, Kabbalah works to make someone who's pasul and make his din binding. That's what Kabbalah works for. But Kabbalah doesn't make it mutter to do an isur daraisa. Over here, there's an external issur, there's a separate issur to go in front of a non-Jewish judge. So when he's going to be an aid, how many problems are there? It's just the fact that he's pasul. There's no isur da'oraisa to listen to a non-Jewish aid. It's just that he's a pasul aid. My Kabbalah overpowers the psul. Mechanics of which to be explained later. But my Kabbalah overpowers the psul. But when you're dealing with a dayan, there are two problems. He's pasul, plus it's an isur da'oraisa to go in front of a non-Jewish court. It's an isur da'oraisa to go in front of a non-Jewish court, so I can't go in front of the non-Jewish court. Simple as that. So that question is fairly easy to answer. Why the difference between Eidos and Dayans? Is that clear? Is that, yeah? The second question is a little less easy to answer. What's the Ramah talking about? Once I'm going to say that it's Asur to go in front of a non-Jewish court, why is their opinion binding if it's Asur to go in front of the non-Jewish court? So, the Shach in Sivkat and Tazayim, it's on the sheets over here. The Shach brings it back to that Mordechai. What the Shach essentially suggests, I'm not going to read the whole thing inside, and he basically suggests the Isser to go in front of a non-Jewish court is just that. It's Usser to go in front of a non-Jewish court. It doesn't take away the koach of the court to do something. It's just that you're not allowed to go to that court. It's an isser to do it. It's an isser of chutzpah to the Jewish court by instead adjudicating your case in front of a non-Jewish court. No one ever said it's not binding when you go in front of a non-Jewish court. In general, there's Suya Maseches Tmura Davdal and Kal Milsa Dom Rachman Al Asavid Yavad Lo Mahani. There's Machlokes. Whenever the Torah tells us something not to do, does that mean just that it's usher to do, or that the Torah is taking away our ability to do it, to make anything work through that means? So when the Torah says don't go in front of a non-Jewish court, does that mean just don't do it? But if they adjudicate your case, you still have to listen? Or do you say no? When the Torah says don't go in front of a non-Jewish court, it means we take away the ability of the non-Jewish court to do anything. And it doesn't even work. So the Shach understands that the issue to go in front of a non-Jewish court does not rob the court of their ability to hand out a psak. So being mekabel psulim makes them kasher dayanim in terms of handing down a psak. It happens to be usher to go in front of a non-Jewish court. That's how the Shach wants to suggest. However, that's how he understands the Mordechai. Yeah?
Can we just say that we're not mekabel any rulings by
the kosher courts?
Therefore, the psak
is the same thing. No, but we're saying the psak is binding. The Ramah says the psak is binding. Yeah, but it said the psak of a non-Jewish court is binding. So, the question is why? What?
Why? I don't see why that.
Right. So what we're saying is that just like you could make the psak of Roe Bakar and of your father and of anybody else that's possible binding by being mekabel, so that works for a non-Jewish court also. It works to make their psak binding. It doesn't work to make it okay to go there. That's the difference. When you're makabel of Abba, there's no issur to go to Abba. So the Kabbalah solves all the problems. You could just use Abba as a dayan. But when you're dealing with a guy, there's an issur to go to a guy. Your Kabbalah makes their psak binding, you're just not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to go there because there's still the issur in place. That's what Ramban and Shmos discusses. Ela hamishpatim asher tasim lefneihem. That it's got to dafka be lefneihem v'lo lefnei kananim, based on the Gemara Gittin daf peches, that you that the mitzvah mitoraisa, that all your judgments have to be dafka in front of a Jewish base. Now, Rav David Pavarsky in his Shiurim suggests a similar chiluk based on Iran in the first parak. Remember, we discussed the Gemara in the first paragraph. How many dayanim do you really need midaraisa for cases of dina mamnas and vados valvados? So we say really midaraisa could be that einer parshios kasuv kan, you only need one dayan. So why do we require three dayanim? I'm sorry. That was the second side of the Gemara. First side of the Gemara is maybe Erev Parshas Kasav Kain. We learn Elohim, Elohim, Elohim. It says three times. So you need three Dayanim, not just three Dayanim. They all need to be Mumchim. But Midr Rabbanan, we say, nah, they don't need to be Mumchim. It's okay if they're not Mumchim. Why would Rabbanan make such a takana that would seem to, like, ruin justice? Right? Justice says they need to be Mumchim. So the Rabbanan are going to say, nah, it's okay, just get guys. It's fine. They don't need to be Mumchim. So what's the pshat? Why would they do that? So the Gemara says, Shalotinal Dalos Bifnei Lovin. Because if you make it too hard to find judges, then people aren't going to get paid back. I'm going to lend somebody money. I'm going to sue him for the money. And I'm going to take him where? I don't have enough kosher dayanim to go to. So we need to make a lot more people kosher as dayanim. We need to make it easier to become a kosher dayan. When there's a shortage of rabbis, they make it easier to get smicha. When there's a shortage of teachers, make it easy to get a teacher's license. Whatever. If you have a shortage, you got to take care of it. You got to make it easy. You got to relax the standards a little bit. If you see that there aren't enough, so that's what the Gemara says. Shaltinel dels b'fnei lovi. That's why we allow regular people to be dayanim. Frekt the Ran in the first parak. There is a Gemara Mesechas Gittin Daf Peches, where the Gemara tells us that Abaye, who is a Talmud of Rav Yosef, a lot of times you'll find Rav Yosef will say something and Abaye will tell Rav Yosef, hey, didn't you teach us once this, that, or the other thing? You know, you taught us the other way? Because Rav Yosef, toward the end of his life, lost a lot of his learning. He forgot a lot of his learning. He became very ill. So Abaye would follow him around and would catch him whenever he slipped up. So Abaye was a very loyal Talmud of Rav Yosef. And he saw that Rav Yosef forced somebody to give a get. Kfiya beget. So he asked him, wait a second. Asher tasim lefnehem, lo lefnei kutim, lo lefnei hadiotos. He says, the halacha is, the only people that are allowed to be kofet to give a get is a legitimate beis din. Anyone in Bavel is, by definition, not a legitimate beis din. We all have a din of hadiotos, because we don't have smicha. So why are you able to force somebody to give a get? With all due respect, Rav Yosef, you're not Rabbi Yosef, you're Rav Yosef. You don't have smicha. So how are you allowed to do that? So Rav Yosef says, famous phrase, Shlichu Sayuka Avdina. I am the shliach of the Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael that does have smicha. What, the Beis Din called him up, sent him a fax, called him on the phone and told him to do this? No. But it's assumed that the Batei Din of Smuchim wanted people to carry over this idea of forcing people to give a get. So you have the right to assume that you're the shlichus. Okay, the exact nature of that we'll have to save till we learn Gittin 1 year. What that means, shlichusayukav, how do I become a shliach if the guy never made me a shliach? Okay, but let's assume that there is such a concept. So it's considered that mumchim were okay with it. Just like hodos valvalos. Where why are hediotos, why are non-experts allowed to judge hodos valvalos? Because shlichus sayukav dinan, I'm doing the shlichus of the experts. Frek the Ran, that's very nice and it's very creative, but that's not how the Gemara explains why hediotos are allowed to be judges in hodos valvos. What does the Gemara say at the beginning of Sanhedrin? Why do we relax the standards? Shlo tinal delos b'fnei lovin. We want it to be easier for a person to collect. We want to encourage people to lend money. And the only way they're going to be encouraged to lend money is if it's easier for them to collect. It's only going to be easy for them to collect if it's easy to find judges. It's only easy to find judges if you don't demand that every judge be a mumcha. That's what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. So how could the Gemara get in all of a sudden and say, no, by hodos valvos, of course you need experts. We allow non-experts to do it because they are the shluchim of the experts. It's a totally different pshat. Nothing to do with the special takana derabanan completely waiving the requirements for experts. You hear the kasha? We're going to build on this kasha. It's important to hear this kasha. All right, I'll say it again. Kasha is, the Gemara here in Masech Sanhedrin says, why am I allowed to have non-experts judge cases of hodos valvos, of dinim amnis? According to the Torah, you need experts. It says Elohim three times. That means you need expert judges. So why am I allowed to have non-mumchin judge case of hodos valvos? answers the Gemara Sanhedrin daf beis amud beis kidei shelot in ol delas b'fnei lovin, which means we want to encourage people to lend money, and the only way people are going to be encouraged to lend money is if they feel they'll be able to get it back. The only way they'll be able to get it back is with a beis din. The only way they're going to be able to get a beis din is if it's easy to find judges. If you demand that every judge be a mumcha, it's going to be impossible to find judges. So takana derabanan, in order to encourage people to lend money, we relax the standards of who could be a judge. The Gemara Maseches Gittin asks the same question. Why are hediotos allowed to judge cases of those for those? But gives a different answer. Says they're allowed to judge because they serve as the shluchim of the experts. What's that got to do with Takana Shalotin of those B'fnei Lovin? Two totally different answers. That's the Ron's kasha.
What was the difference between two different reasons?
Why do you need two reasons? Why would the Rabban make a Takana if you already have that it's okay for them to do it because of those Valvos? So I guess the answer to our question has to be the answer to your question. There's got to be a nafkamina between those two reasons, and therefore there has to be a reason why we need both reasons. So says the Ron, we need both reasons. Because the reason of Shlotin Ol Delos B'fnei Lovin, that we want to encourage people to lend money, comes to teach us the very din that these Dayanim are allowed to judge, and that their judgment is binding, even though Mida Oraisa you need experts, because the Chacham made a special takana to encourage people to lend money, Hefker based in Hefker, the Chacham have the right to do that. On a Daraisa level, the judgment's totally not binding, and you shouldn't owe any money, but the Chacham have the right to mess around with Dine Mamanus and say, okay, now you owe the money, Hefker based in Hefker, the money changes hands. However, there still is an iser of lifnehem velo lifnei hediotos. There's still an iser to go actually to hediotos and have them judge you. Meaning, Shalotin al delos b'fnei lovin tells us that their judgment is binding. It does not tell us you're allowed to use them as your judges. Because there's an iser to use non-experts. It's a chutzpah to use non-experts. Chutzpah to use non-experts. Why is it a chutzpah to use non-experts? No, why is it a chutzpah to use non-experts? Who's it a chutzpah to? The experts, right? It's a chutzpah to the good judges, right? To the rabbis who are good judges. We have perfectly good judges. It's like Mora Alecha B'fnei Rabbo. We have perfectly good judges available. We're going to go to the Hediotos. It doesn't make it mutter. The Takana D'Rabbana didn't make it mutter. You know what makes it mutter? The fact that Shlichus Sayukav Dina. The fact that these non-experts were actually sent by the experts to do this case, to judge these cases. They're considered the shluchim. So even though it's us, just like it's usher to go in front of a non-Jewish court, it's usher to go in front of hediotos also. Shlichusayu makes it mutter. Shlichusayu makes it that it's okay to go in front of them. So now, by a guy, now let's take it back to us. By a guy, you have both chisronos. You have the fact that their din is not binding, because when the Rabbanan made that takara that we want to encourage loans, they said, okay, so you go to a hediot. They never said you can go to a guy. And therefore, what was that takara there to do? Remember, this takara sanhedrin that beis, that was to make the din binding by hediotos. The Rabbanan never included goyim in that. They said the din of hediotos is binding, not the din of goyim is binding. Plus, when you go in front of a guy, you also have an iser of going in front of a guyish court. So Amar writes, when you're mekabel olav guy, when you're mekabel the guy, it gets around one of those problems. Which of those problems does it get around? The bindingness of the din, or the heter to go and the iser to go and judge in front of them? When you're mekabel, it takes care of the bindingness. Not that's not a word. The, you know, how binding the din is, makes the din binding. But it doesn't make it mutter to go in front of them. Very similar svar. Yet that those tzvei dinim in a beis din, the din of whether what they say matters and the din of whether you're allowed to go and adjudicate in front of them, comes up in that ran when it comes to idiotos. And that's why we need both Gemara Sanhedrin and Gittin, and it comes up when it comes to a guy, and that explains the Shita Sarama. So a very beautiful fundamental idea in terms of the nature of the problem of going to unqualified judges. That you always have to deal with it on two levels. One, the Isser to go to them, and two, their lack of ability to impose a binding din. Kabbalah solves the latter of those two problems. It does not solve the Isser to go to them. The only way to solve the Isser to go to them is if Shlichus Hayukavdim. Is if you assume that they're Shluchim of the really great judges. According to the Shach himself, it happens to be, he disagrees with both the Ramah and the Beis Yosef. The Shach has an interesting chilek. The Shach himself has a third sheet. Let's look at Chazer again. Beis Yosef writes, if I accept a guy as a dayan, no good. Automatically no good, nothing to talk about. As an aide, it's okay. But as a dayan, no good. The Ramah, what did the Ramah say? Not so pashut that it's no good. It's no good in what sense? I'm not allowed to go there. But if he, in fact, if the guy paskins, I'm bound by that psak. So the Ramah is like a bit of a compromise. Says the Shach, a different chilek entirely. Let's say I'm a kabel stam to be done in front of a guy. So that doesn't work. I just say, I'll accept a Beis Din of Goyim. Then it won't work. But, if I'm a kabel a goy misuyam, I'm a kabel a particular guy. I want to go in front of Justice, I don't know, pick someone from the Supreme Court. Clarence Thomas. I don't know why he chose Clarence. I'm Clarence Thomas. What?
No, man. Kind of.
You know him?
Not really. My dad's old boss.
Wow, okay. Justice Clarence Thomas, Republican, died in the womb.
Yeah.
Okay, fantastic. Conservative.
Yeah.
So you want to go in front of a conservative judge, you say, I'm going to go in front of Clarence Thomas. So says the Shach, then it does work. Then the Kabbalah does work. What's the start for that? I'm a Kabbalah guy, no good. We have a Talmud in the Yeshiva, we had a Talmud in the Yeshiva, whose father was co-president of Harvard Law Review with one of the Supreme Court justices. I forgot which one. Forgot which one. Whatever. Roberts. John Roberts. Anyway. So. He used to.
Yeah.
So. What was I saying? Yeah. So what's the svara for the Shach? Why would this matter? If I'm a kabbal to go in front of goyim, no good. But I'm a kabbal to go in front of a goy, then that is good. So says the Shach. When you're a kabbal to go in front of goyim, what do you basically say? I don't even know who I want to go in front of. I just know that I don't want Torah. That is bad. If you say you want to go in front of Clarence Thomas, there's something about him that you want. It's not so much a rebellion of Torah as it is an acceptance of Clarence Thomas. So the Shach says, it doesn't work to be Mekabel Goyim in general, because that is a blatant rebellion against Torah. But to be Mekabel a guy, that does work. It's not a blatant rebellion against Torah. You just like that guy because you think that he's got something, some quality or some ability to judge that maybe others won't have. But, so that's the piece on Gayim in terms of Neman Alayaba as it relates to Gayim. It was worth doing. Shkayach. Thank you for inspiring me to do that. I think it was worth it. Okay. Yeah. Tepper. Shkayach. Okay. But now, the long-awaited discussion about what is the mechanism of this whole Neman Alayaba thing? How does that work? To put it in stronger terms, Rav Yosef Engel writes, Masa mashkaz b'Torah t'no batal. I'm not allowed to make a Tanai against what it says in the Torah. I can't make a Tanai that uproots Torah law. So here you have Torah law that my father is not believed to be an aid or a dayan for me. I make it tonight that it's okay. So why does that work? So, let's see, there are two ways to approach this. There's Chazanish and there's Rav Shechter. Any preferences? Chazanish or Rav Shechter first? Chazanish? He came first, right? So let's go to Chazanish. Probably Rav Shechter would want us to do the Chazanish first also. So the Chazanish. What? Because what? Yeah, mechaber both. Exactly. It's like being mechaber to grandparents. Let's keep it up also. Okay. So the Chazon Ish suggests that the exact mechanism through which this works is a two or three way machlokas rishonim. Now, we already said that if you hold that the whole discussion is only by machulach, where it's only about a situation where I'm mekabel abba vavicha to say that I don't owe money, or that you don't owe me money, let's put it that way, that you don't owe me money, that's the Kabbalah. I'm mekabel abba vavicha to say you don't owe me money, that's easy. Because you can say, okay, I know what that mechanism is, that means I'm mochel. If abba vavicha say it, I'm mochel. Mochel, words are enough for mechila. For a kinyan, you need a kinyan. To transfer money, you need a kinyan. Someone's holding money, I want to let him keep it. Mochel. That's all you need to do. So that we don't have a problem. Our kasha was, if the machlokas is be'etelach, if the machlokas is, even when Abba Vavicha say, okay, now you have to pay up, by what mechanism does he have to pay up? By what mechanism are you locked in to that requirement to pay? You only said words. If Abba Vavicha say, I have to pay, I'll pay. But that's just words. There's no kinyan. So where's the kinyan? What makes it binding? Again, today's whole shir, especially we're going with the Chazon Ish, is all from the back of the Masifta. He has beautiful maramakomos. So the Chazon Ish in Simon Yud Zayin suggests three-way machlokas rishon. Number one, he says there's a Rashbam in Maseches Bava Basra. First sheet in Rishon. Where the Rashbam holds that it's midin hoda'a. That when I say, if Abba tells me that I have to pay you money, I'm going to pay you, that's my way of saying, I'm moda that I owe you the money, provided that Abba says I have to be moda. But it's a din of hoda'a. How does hoda'a work? If you owe me $1,000, and I come to you and I say, you owe me $1,000, and there are two edim standing there, and the two edim see you say, yes, I am molde, I owe you $1,000, that's actionable in court. You now owe me $1,000. You will have to pay $1,000. Whether you ever borrowed it or not, it doesn't make a difference. The hoda'a alone is a mechayiv. So if I was molde in front of a beis din, that's it, I'm chayiv. You don't need more than words for a hoda'a. So it's very interesting. Turns out, according to the Rashbam, when I say, Neman Alay Abba, I want my father and my father-in-law, let's say, to be my Eidim. Puzzle on so many levels, right? It's my father, he's my father-in-law, they're related to each other. Puzzle on all these levels. Why am I chayiv to pay? Is it because of their Eidus? That I owe the money? According to the Rashbam, no, that's not the key. Their eidus is not mechayiv me. What's mechayiv me is that I'm moda. You don't need eidim at all. I could have been moda without eidim. I could have said, forget about Abba Vavicha. Forget about any eidim. I'm moda. I owe the money. The role of Abba and Vavicha is that they are the tanai through which my hoda'a worked. I was only moda al tanai that they say something. I could have made it tanai that they jump up and down 10 times. If Abba is willing to go on that roller coaster, then I'm moda. That would work too. I can make hoda'a tonight. What I make my tonight? That Abba's going to say that I owe the money. That'll say Eidus. But it's not Eidus. It's not Eidus. He's a possible aid. I can't change that. I can't make him a kosher aid. There's no Eidus. It's hoda'a. It's just, I'm admitting it. And admitting works. Clear? That's the Rashba. Second Shita, Chazon Ish quotes, is the Rashba. With an aleph at the end, not with a mem at the end. The Rashba in Tshuvas Miuchasos Ramban, Simon Samachay, says the Rashba, it's not Midin Hoda'a, no. Whenever you are mekabel something in front of a Beis Din, and Beis Din accepts it, that's considered a Takanas Beis Din. And a Takanas Beis Din is actionable. So, if I mekabel that Abba and Avich are good, and Beis Din says, okay. It's as if Beis Din made a takana midrabanan that Abba and Avicha are good for this case. why are Beis Din allowed to make that takana? Isn't it against the Torah? Well, Beis Din is allowed to do those kinds of things. They're allowed to make takanas, Horah Shah, whenever they want. So Beis Din makes the takana. Takana's Beis Din. Beis Din makes the takana that it's going to work. So is it Hoda'ah? It's not Hoda'ah. It's not that I admitted in my Hoda'ah. I didn't admit to the money. I said, I swear the whole time I don't know the money. All I said to Beis Din is, I'm willing to accept Abba and Avicha as Edim, even though they're Pasul. I don't have the koach to do that, but Beis Din has the koach to do that. So by me saying in front of Beis Din, now, according to that, do you need Beis Din? So by me saying in front of Beis Din, it makes it like Beis Din made a takana that that's true. Now, do you need Beis Din to issue a proclamation? We hereby declare that Abba and Avicha kasher Edim. So for a takanas Beis Din, or for a Gemara Din, a Psak Din of Beis Din, you don't need Beis Din to actually say anything. Rav Shachter pointed out, you know, if you say something in front of a Beis Din, a Beis Din just gestures. Okay. So that's it. That's a Psak Beis Din. You know, the nod and yeah. It's just being in front of the Beis Din and Beis Din's das being clear is enough for a Psak Beis Din. Or for instance, you say something in front of Beis Din, and Beis Din says, "Oh, come on." That was Rav Shachter's example. He said, "Come on." That's it. Then you know that's a psak Beis Din that you're wrong. You don't need anything more. They don't. There's no gavels in Beis Din. There's no. You don't have any of that. No one's writing anything. You don't have to write the psak Din. You just say it. You know, let it be known. So according to the Chazon Ish, according to the Rashba quoted by the Chazon Ish, it's not midin oda. It's midin psak Beis Din. Third potential shita is Tosfos Maseches Bava Metzia. Tosfos writes in Maseches Bava Metzia that there are certain cases where a kinyan can work with words alone. Like Neman Alay Abba. It's a kinyan that works with words alone. Why does a kinyan work with words alone? Kinyan never work with words alone. Why should it work? So Tosfos seems to explain that if out of the blue I come to you and I say, I owe you something, or I'm going to buy something from you. So those are just words. That's not a kinyan. But let's say there's already a story over here. There's already a relationship. We already have tvios on me. You already have tainas on me. So if you already have, there's already a history. And with the background of that history, I decide that I'm going to be mekabel, Abba, Avicha, whatever. Even without a kinyan, those words make the kinyan happen. Those words become binding. So the schaivus is chal with words alone. Schaivus can't be chal with words alone. Yes, it can, as long as there's a previous backstory. As long as there's a previous relationship. Why? What does the previous relationship matter? So why doesn't a kinyan work with the words? Why do I need an action? Why can't I say I'm going to buy something from you? Why am I not bound by that? So the answer is that words are cheap. People don't always take their words seriously. When people say something, people sometimes, shocking as it may be, people sometimes speak before they think. But the assumption is, and this is yet more shocking, that people won't act before they think. And if they're going to do a Maisa Kinyan, well then they're going to want to make sure that they're certain about that decision. There's a full Gemiras Das when there's a Maisa Kinyan. So if out of the blue I just come and I say something to you, it could have just been words. There's no Gemiras Das. But if there's a history and we've been arguing back and forth, and then based on that history and that background, I make a declaration, well, that attaches more Gemiras Das to it. Because it wasn't spur of the moment, out of the blue. It was a history, you had tvios, you had tainus on me. So it's as if I made a kinyan, because kinyan isn't magic. The reason kinyan works is because it's an expression of das. If I have the das without doing the maisa kinyan, that also works. It's like, you know, someone says, oh, would you agree to do something? And you'll say, yeah, sure. They'll say, okay, can you sign here? That says you're going to agree to do it. What's the immediate reaction someone always has when he has them sign? Very rare for a person to say, yeah. So wait a second. read, make sure. What exactly am I agreeing to? Wait, you didn't know what you were agreeing to a second ago when you agreed to it? Yeah, but that was just words. Now you're asking me to sign. So I need to know exactly what I'm agreeing to before I sign. I may not actually read it, but I want to know exactly what you're telling me it says that I'm agreeing to before I sign. So that's a gemira stas. You're going to do a kinyan, you need a gemira stas. But if there's a whole backstory, we assume that there's gemira stas already. Three basic approaches. What's the mechanism that this works? Shitas harashbam, hoda'a, I'm just moda. So it could be al menas rabba v'avicha, you know, jump up and down. Could be al menas rabba v'avicha, say testimony. It doesn't make a difference. They're not related to him anyway. It's all midin hoda'a. Shitas harashba, takanas based that these guys can count as edim. So they are related. Shitas hatosos, it's a kinyan I made to be mekabel them as edim. That's what makes it binding. Kinyan makes it binding. Says the Chidushei Arim, quoted in the Biur Yadav over here from Gittin Daf Samach Dalet. If you say that it's a hoda'a or some sort of kinyan, that I'm a kabel, whatever this guy says, what if the person lies? What if we know that Abba Vavicha are liars? They come to Beis Din and they say something that's a blatant lie. Somehow we know. I don't know how we know, but somehow we know. Video evidence. Blatant lie. So you'd have enough gemin over here, no? If you say that it's a din hoda'a, if I'm moda that I owe you $1,000, does it have to be true for me to owe it? Even if I never borrowed any money from you, I still owe you $1,000. So my hoda'a is, if they say I owe you $1,000, not if it's true that if they say I owe you $1,000, then I owe you $1,000. So that's hoda'a, even if it's a blatant lie. But if it's a takanas Beis Din, that Beis Din saying these people are going to be accepted as Edim, well, if kosher Edim walk into court and tell a lie, we don't take it. If we can prove that they're lying, we're not going to accept their Edis. So all you did with takanas Beis Din was you turned these people into kosher Edim. Doesn't mean we have to take it. They're still lying. So that's the nafkamina suggested by the Chidushei Arim. What I want to do Be'ez Hashem on Sunday to wrap up the sugya is go through four more nafkaminas between these three opinions and take Rav Schefter's approach. And then Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach on Monday we'll start gambling. The sugya of gambling. Oh, sorry to disappoint. Okay, we'll do a 10-minute lach shir upstairs because I left my notes upstairs.